Man, I was super excited about that win. It had me pumped up. And I think a lot of that energy came from, you know, me just watching the game day morning, watching my boys, you know, Rich, Kurt, you know, all those guys, Michael Irvin, and I'm listening to Mooch, and I'm listening to them go, everybody go zero on the Raiders. And then I flip over to channel 206 on my DirecTV, and I'm watching ESPN, and nobody's giving us one. Like, hold on. And I'm arguing with my television. I know I sound like a crazy man, but I'm arguing, like, what are you guys talking about? And so I sat there, and I watched, and I just glued in my office, and I just went off because it was built up inside of me. So I know I seemed like the angry dude, but I was passionate, man. And people go, well, just because you're a former Raider. Look, I was born and raised in Los Angeles. When I was a kid, my book covers were the Los Angeles Raiders book covers. I mean, I remember when they were playing just down the street from where I lived in South Central Los Angeles, when I used to play at the Coliseum where, you know, USC plays. And I said, this has been like since day one. Just like I'm a Lakers fan, I'm a Raiders fan, always. I don't care what zip code, area code, state code, no tax, a lot of tax, it doesn't matter.
So as a former defensive,
I went off on a rant.
No. I love the passion, and you know, I wanted to talk to you too because we covered the offensive end of it, in which we'll get to you. We'll get to that with you, but I wanted to talk with you as a former defender about the defensive end because what I thought was incredible was in the first half where you're giving up deep plays, guys are getting behind the safeties. It looks kind of like the same old Raiders defense, and then in the second half, the Chiefs are 0-5 on third down, 2.5 yards per play on the first four drives with one turnover. Like, what was the difference there? Because that was an incredible turnaround.
Well, I think it was the mentality. You know, like sometimes when you watch, you can get into the X's and O's, but I think the pressure up front, but also, too, just the way they kind of secure the back end, it's been one of our weakest points, is that secondary group. I think everyone across the league knows that. I mean, that is probably one of the weaker points, but I think that they kind of made up for it in the way they zoned it, the way they applied pressure up front. Look, that's a juggernaut offense to stop. And so I think there's got to be a lot of credit. But, you know, you go back to the offensive side, too. I mean, the way they got Ruggs involved as well, I mean, I thought that was pretty impressive. They had a bully mentality. If I had to go into a mentality state for the listeners who may not be into the X's and O's, they just came out with it. You know what? I'm just going to sock these dudes in the mouth. I don't care how big, how much gold and diamond they have on their ring. We're coming out and we're ready to fight. And that's what got me just fired up. I was like, I love watching that old-school smash-mouth football. And I think if the defense can play like that, they got a young, talented guy in Crosby, number 98. I mean, he gets after it. You know what I mean? He can get after it. And so, but then, you know, they've got complimentary help too as well. So they continue doing that. I think they can stop anybody, and they can. It's going to be a big fight in the AFC West. I don't think the Kansas City Chiefs are just going to roll over and no one's going to respond.
So one of the things I think that not a whole lot of people would notice if they're just casual fans watching that game. But the Raiders play 4-3, and they were down to only two defensive tackles with, you know, Malik Collins out. Hurst is on the COVID list. So they had a bunch of guys. Yeah, and they had a bunch of defensive ends, and they moved inside. You know, Dayton Jones moved inside a little bit. Chris Smith, who I don't think anybody knew was on the team, got called up for the practice squad. He moved inside for some. Cleveland Furrow was sliding over and playing on the inside. Like, these guys are filling in different roles, but they're just getting after it. How tough is that as a defensive lineman to move inside and try to play tackle in the game?
Well, let me ask you, it's actually an advantage. And for a defensive end, a guy who's used to playing in space on the outside, you bring him in on the inside, that actually creates more of a havoc and mismatch with the guys on the interior because they're so quick and they're so explosive on the inside. You get some of what you see out of Aaron Donald. That's what makes him so great. Aaron Donald is super quick and explosive, but you see a lot of that type of explosion and quick and short space amongst the defensive linemen, defensive ends. And so you take a guy like Dayton Jones, he's built like a D tackle but has end experience. You bring a Dayton, he started making plays, you know, he just, boom, got fit right into the system. And so that makes it harder on the, you know, on what I call the lazy guards. The lazy guards don't have a lot of space to play with like the tackles do. Like, they can get back into the set and kind of feel it out. And so when you get a quick dude, and I've seen defensive coordinators do this a lot, where they'll take a smaller guy, even though he might lose in weight, so to speak, but he's so quick, it can be hard. Because one mistake in the guard, that's it. You're right in front of that quarterback. And I think we saw a little bit of that where, you know, obviously Mahomes is different because he can make plays on the go, on the fly, with no eyes, no look. But you get that for other quarterbacks and other things, I mean, it could be very frustrating. You could see a lot more turnovers as well.